Good morning, saints. Those here and those in Zoom. If I ever needed a confirmation for the message this morning, you'll see how clear God was making it, because the words kept repeating over and over by our brother. And so we thank the Lord that his spirit is leading. Thank the Lord for putting it in the hearts of the leadership to have me minister the word today. And I also thank the saints for your prayers for my family and I. And we just thank the Lord for his goodness. At this time, if you would turn with me in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. And I'll be reading from the New American Standards Bible. And we'll also look at Colossians 4 and 2. But there will be other verses as well. Colossians 1 and 3 says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Colossians 4 and 2. "Devoting yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. And the Lord has promised that he will bless his word for his name's sake." Let us pray. Our Father and God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow in your presence. And we thank you, Lord God, for this is an opportunity to declare your precious word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this gathering. Thank you for this assembly. Thank you, Lord God, for our elders and deacons, for their faithfulness and their love for the saints. Thank you, God, for all those who serve, from the trustees and those that serve in various ministries, for their commitment to the work of the ministry. Thank you, Lord God, for our sisters, and Lord, and their faithfulness in prayer and support to this work. Thank you, Lord God, for our young people and their commitment as they grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for our married couples. Thank you, Lord, for blessing homes. Thank you, Lord God, for all your goodness to this assembly as a whole, for uniting us, binding us together with cords that cannot be broken. Thank you for your faithfulness. And Father, as we would hear from you even now, help us, O God, that we would not just be hearers, but doers of your word, as we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. This Thanksgiving season may prove to be the most difficult of times to have an attitude of gratitude. With all that is going on in our nation, as our brother just reminded us. But the opposite may also be true, that we who know the Lord Jesus are most thankful despite the circumstances surrounding us. Here is some help from Chuck Swindoll, and I quote. He says, "Can you think of a year when we've needed Thanksgiving more?" Think of that question. He says, "Yes, I am talking about this year, 2020. The year when COVID took hundreds of thousands of lives worldwide, when racial tensions exploded into destruction and violence, when the political differences ripped families, friendships, and churches apart. For many it has been a year of unprecedented loss, deep heartache, and debilitating stress. And he says it's been for me and my wife Cynthia as well. And this is exactly why we need to give thanks more than ever. End of quote. An appropriate quote for those that have peace with God that passes all understanding, as every child of God should have. This attitude of thanksgiving to God should flow from our walk and our talk, regardless of the circumstances, within or without. But I am certain that there are those in our midst, perhaps in Zoom, that don't have this peace with God, which can only be experienced through a relationship with God, which is by His Son, Jesus Christ. If that is you, this message today is especially for you. Today we will examine the Apostle Paul's mindset of thanksgiving during his imprisonment. And perhaps we can learn some new things or examples concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Paul followed and encouraged the saints there to do as well. Paul wrote these words while he was in prison for the gospel of Jesus Christ, while being chained to a Roman guard. Acts 26 and 29 tells us. But it didn't stop him from serving his God. It is said that while Paul was in prison, his letters to the Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, and even to Philemon, contain a significant collection of New Testament church doctrine compared to the others. So Paul accomplished a lot while he was under duress. And like us today in the pandemic, Paul was limited too. His movements was cut off, but he was not cut off totally from the world. We have Zoom today, and the internet and phone, many different ways to communicate. Paul had Timothy and other faithful servants who shared the word with the saints who were outside. But he also had the Roman guards that was chained to him, who he preached the gospel to, and they in turn spread the word all the way to Caesar's household. Philippians 4:22. So the word was getting out despite Paul being in prison. And as our brother mentioned, the gospel is being preached despite the pandemic. We thank our God who is all-knowing and all-powerful. He knows our limitations, and He knows how to make it possible for us to connect the way we are today. Thanks be to God. There's nothing too hard for Him. Amen? So let us look at Paul's words or prayers of encouragement to the saints and thanksgiving. What was Paul's attitude that caused it to overflow in gratitude in the midst of his adversity? First, we see Paul's pattern of prayer. He says, giving thanks to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ and for the saints. And how many times have we heard that, right? We're very familiar with that. It is to God, through Christ Jesus, and for the saints. In his corporate prayer, going to Colossians 1 and 3 now, he says, we give thanks to God. He reminds the saints then of thanksgiving to the Father, to God the Father, that is only due to Him. He is God, Jehovah, 3-in-1, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He reminds them that he is the Father who is in heaven, whose name is to be hallowed, as the Lord Jesus taught the disciples to pray. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he reminds them of the only begotten of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul prays to the Father, and he prays to God the Father, and he prays to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. He gives thanks to the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom all thanksgiving is due. He says concerning Jesus Christ in verse 13 of Colossians 1, he's the Son of his love. He says Jesus is the image of the invisible God in verse 15. And he gives these descriptions of the Lord. He says he's the firstborn over all creation. He is creator. This is whom Paul's mindset is on as he gives thanks. He is before all things. 17. In him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, verse 18, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, first to be resurrected and not to die again. He also reminds the saints at Colossae that we are undeserving Gentiles who are dead in our trespasses. But God has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. As Paul thinks of thanksgiving, he focuses on the fact that we have been qualified. And that is very important. To be qualified, we were empowered by God. The example there is of an athlete who prepares for a sporting event. For example, the Olympics, probably. And they had to go through Olympic trials in order to be able to represent their country. They had to qualify for that event. And even when they got to the event, they still had to qualify to get to the finals in order to be crowned. And so Paul uses that term qualified, but there's a lot more than that. For we were made able to be part of the kingdom of his Son of love. How did that happen? The Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," the work that Jesus accomplished did two things. First, he is the sinless Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God. And so he satisfied God's righteous demand. He also, in his sinless life, kept the law perfectly. So we had the law fulfilled, the law of Moses, and we have God's righteous demand for a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, whosoever that believeth in him is now in Christ. So God can qualify us, empower us, to share in that inheritance of the saints in light. This is how John puts it. He says, "But as many as receive him," John 1:12, "but as many as receive him, to them give he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name." Focus on that term, right. God gives us the right. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are in Christ. God gives us the right to be children of God. And this is Paul's focus as he gives thanks as he's giving thanks to through the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father. This is his mindset. He wanted to remind the Colossian saints that now we have an inheritance. We have now we've been accepted in the beloved. And that is something to give thanks for. In Paul's private prayer, Philippians 1 and 3, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Again in Philemon 1 and 4, he says, I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers. Note those pronouns. And then in Ephesians 1, and you could jot these down because we're going to be looking at a couple of verses. He says in Ephesians 1, 15 and 16, he says, for this reason, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Notice how Paul is giving thanks. He is specifically offering his thanksgiving for the saints. He says there five times, he gives thanks in remembrance of you. Every time there is making mention of you, he's always giving thanks in Philemon. In Ephesians, he says, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ causes me to give thanks for you and your love for the saints. I don't cease giving thanks. Paul is excited. And he makes his prayer personally directed. His prayer of thanksgiving concerning the saints specifically. When we give thanks to God, we also should make our prayers specific. Even naming names. When we pray for our leadership, our missionaries, our assemblies, it should always be specific. Paul gives thanks. Paul was thankful for the faith and love of the Colossae and Ephesus, the churches there. They were going through challenges. They had to deal with Jewish legalism, false teachers, satanic opposition, Gnosticism, and even idolatry. They were getting it from every angle. They were being persecuted. And Paul wanted to encourage them, and he says, I've been giving thanks for you. I'm bearing you up before the Lord. He imitates in his prayer the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John 17 and 9. John 17 and 9. He says, I ask on behalf, Jesus praying to the Father, says, I ask on their behalf, and I do not ask on the behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Look at how Jesus' prayer was focused on the disciples. He could have prayed for the world, but he says, I'm not praying for them now. I'm praying for their behalf. For those whom you give me, for they are yours. And so Paul uses this pattern of thanksgiving, and he directs his focus specifically for those saints. These are the saints whom Paul had a hand in planting of these churches. The only church Paul didn't plant was Ephesus, because that was Epaphras was the one who started that church, but Paul ministered to him. And then he says, your love for the saints. This got him excited. He says, in obedience to the Lord's command, you love the saints. You loved each other. That's what John 13 and 34 tells us as the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples. He says, the new command that I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, also love one another. And this, the world will know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another. So Paul was excited that they're growing in grace. They're growing, they're loving each other, and their faith in Jesus Christ is firm. Paul's thanksgiving for the Philippian saints was influenced by his bond developed between them and their unwavering support in the gospel. If you want to look at this further, you could read through Philippians 1, 3 through 8, but for time's sake, I would focus on verse 8. He said, "For God is my witness, how long I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." Paul had such a bond with the saints and a commitment to them, for this was the church that Lydia, who was the wealthy merchant, the church started in her home. And so Paul had this close relationship with them. He says, "I long for you." And this caused him to give thanks because there was this bond, this fellowship that he had with them. Though he was far away, he wanted to remind them that he's given thanks. And this was in his personal prayer. See, it's one thing for us to come up here and just give thanks, but are we doing it in our personal prayer? Are we sincerely thankful to the Lord? So when we have fellowship with each other, our thanksgiving to God is rich. Paul considers a healthy church as a thanksgiving church. And so he wanted to encourage these saints. In his exhortation, he gives us some examples of the things that we should be focused on in giving thanks, but they're not a complete list. Ephesians 5 and 20, he says, this is how frequent you should be praying. Always giving thanks for the saints in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father. Paul is thankful despite that he is in prison because his own people, the Jews, caused him for being there. But he didn't complain. He gave thanks. And he had to declare, he had to appeal to Caesar because they were about to kill him. But he didn't complain. He gave thanks. He gave thanks for the peace and unity of the saints. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." In Colossians 3 and 15, "To which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." He gives thanks for growth and rejoicing. He says, "Let the word of Christ," verse 16 of Colossians 3, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God." He says, "Serve the Lord with thanksgiving." In verse 17 of Colossians 3, he says, "Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." In our service, we are to be thankful. He says, "Pray with thanksgiving, devote yourselves." Chapter 4 of Colossians in verse 2, he says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. Always giving thanks." And this is from a man who's chained to a Roman guard. He says, "Trust God with thanksgiving." And we all know this verse, Philippians 4 and 6, right? "Be anxious for nothing," right? "But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Trust God in our thanksgiving. And finally, we thank God for the gospel Paul preached. And he defended, and he confirmed, and ultimately he was martyred. We know that there are many that are unthankful in these last days. Paul reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and 2. Here's a description of their times and perhaps our times. He says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and unloving." Why is this so serious that we should give thanks. And she would always have this attitude of gratitude. Because when we don't give thanks, chances are we become carnal. Look at a believer that is not thankful, and chances are very likely that they're carnal. And they become unthankful, unloving. Just like the way they were before they came to the Lord. The old nature starts to creep in. Look at how serious this is for the church of Ephesus. In Revelations, God praised them for all the great things they accomplished, but they left their first love. So an unthankful church results to an unloving church. The church at Ephesus started strong, but then for some reason along the line, they left their first love. What is the danger of being unthankful for the unbeliever? Paul again in Romans 1 and 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Right from the jump, Paul says, the wrath of God is revealed. But look at verse 21, to be more specific on thanksgiving. He says, because they knew God, although they knew God, they did not glorify him, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The wrath of God is directed to sinners, and it only leads to judgment of sin. The lake of fire, the Bible tells us in Revelations, the second death, from which there is no escape for eternity. But God, our Creator, doesn't want or doesn't wish that anyone should perish, because he's a God of love. For this reason, God demonstrated, or he displayed to all mankind, his love by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the awful price for sin, both yours and mine, by dying on that cross. God was so satisfied with his sacrifice that he raised him from the dead on the third day, that whoever believes this in their hearts will be saved. To believe, you must confess that God, you must confess to God that you're a sinner. And that the death of Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the dead was sufficient to save you. The moment you believe, God the Father, his Son Jesus Christ, will come into your life by the Holy Spirit. And you will have the peace of God. Peace with God. The joy of the Lord. And there will be gratitude flowing out of your heart, even as the Apostle Paul was thankful to God as he continues to deliver you, not only in this life, not only during this pandemic, but forevermore. If you're here and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ, we urge you to ask a question, and we can show you from God's word how you can be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. If you're in Zoom, you can easily look us up. Everyone is on Google these days, right? Good Tidings Gospel Chapel, Brooklyn. And drop us a line, and we will share with you from God's word. Perhaps a Bible we can give you, but show you how you can be saved and know it. And perhaps you made that decision. We would love to rejoice with you and give thanks to God for the salvation of your soul. I will pray before I ask the speaker, the chairman, to come back up. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord God, for salvation, so full and rich and free. Thank you that we have the right to be children of God because of your great love and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we are now qualified, empowered, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, because we are now part of the kingdom of the Son of your love. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. We know that there might be some that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, O God, that you give them no rest or peace until they too may come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's forever too late. Father, we pray even now for the Thanksgiving meal that will be offered this Saturday coming. Bless every activity, O God,